Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope.
What kind of clay are we? What kind of pot are we becoming? The quality of the pot is determined by the potter, but also by the clay. If the clay is impure or marred or messed up, if it's got bubbles in it, if it's got impurities in it somehow, then it's not going to be smooth. It's not going to be shaped properly. Here's what I believe this morning. I believe God is calling us, number one, to be available. Write this title down today. What kind of pot are you? Now, when I you're laughing already. Some of you know. We got a pharmacist in the house. Not that he deals with pot, but he understands. I saw you the other day. You didn't see me. I did. I drove right past you. You were on your ATV, your mule or whatever it is, had little one with you, and you were strolling out. I was looking for your house, and I kind of found it. I thought, I'm not just going to show up at his house and not tell him. I was just right back. I saw Trudy and Titus. They blowed the horn at me. And where'd Trudy go? She's still in here? There you are, Trudy. You saw me, didn't you? Well, when I went around the corner, I just wanted to ride through the subdivision back that way. And as I circled back around, here you come, just strolling out, had the baby sitting on your lap. I stopped in the middle of the road, honked my horn. You were like, just went right on by. Like I didn't. I thought, man, he didn't even see me. And I wasn't 5 foot away from him. But when I first came up with this title, I was sitting in my office, and Heather had walked up to the door. There were some folks here doing some work at the church and different things, and she walked up to the door to ask me about a meeting. And we got into a discussion about some ministry and different things here and so on. And I shared something with her that God had done in my life that I'll share later. But in sharing that, I made the statement. I said, what kind of pot are you? And I wrote it down. And it wasn't about pot, as we think of today. But yet when I Googled this phrase, it was kind of funny because everywhere you look online, when it said, what kind of pot are you? They begin to talk about different variants of pot, marijuana. Are you following me? And I thought, well, Lord, maybe I shouldn't use that title, but I couldn't get away from it because that's not what I'm talking about. Well, amen. Don't get all religious now. What kind of pot are you? Have you ever thought about it, what it means to be clay? God's word compares us to the clay in the potter's hand, does it not? He shapes, he develops, he creates his masterpiece. When you look around this morning, you see diversity. Last night, Brother Pete, being from Kentucky, kept referring to a soft drink as pop. Some of you might as well. There's diversity. We have different words and different backgrounds and all types of things that come out. And I'm thankful that God didn't stamp us out with a cookie cutter. He made some of us real good looking. Can you say amen? And some of us married some good looking people to make us look better. Can you say amen? His ability to see what is best, to look ahead and see the finished product. That amazes me. What he creates, every one of you in this room, every one of us, what he creates is priceless. He doesn't look at one and say, well, you're not worth as much as the other. Oh, amen. We may live in a world that treat people that way, but God doesn't. The youngest, the poorest, doesn't matter what color they are, what background they come from, he loves us all the same. We're all valuable and priceless. I mean, I've often wondered, what price could you possibly put on a soul? Sometimes we've done mission work and various things where we spent, Steve, a lot of money to get it done. And sometimes in the natural, you start regulating that and calculating that and wondering in the natural, is this worth it, going through all of this for this? But when you realize if there's just one person, one of the things I've noticed in years gone by is when we would travel 4,000 miles over the ocean or 3,500 miles to some foreign country or wherever it might have been, or all the way down into Central America or wherever, when we would go into these places and we would minister and you would make that one connection Just about everybody always has that one connection, that one individual, that one person, that one child, that one family, something that connects and happens there in that time and season of ministry. And then you go back to the Word for just a moment and you think about the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys. Oh, amen. How far he traveled, if you took it into comparison to airplane and foot travel, he went a really long way by foot. Just to look in the eyes of someone and tell them who Jesus is. Man, that speaks volumes to somebody. It's not about the money. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor and tell him he's not finished. Kylie, he's not finished with you, baby. No, that one's free. That was nice. It's not finished with you. Remember the old song we sung when we were children? I always love to quote it. I'll probably quote it 100 times in my pastor dear. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Look at your neighbor and tell him again, he's not finished. I mean it, Selena. Thank God he's not finished with me. I get better as I get older. Amen. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this in church, but like one man said, like fine wine, it just gets better as it gets older. Well, I didn't get one amen because y'all trying to be all religious. I just said that's what they say. I mean, even the Word talked about, I'm going to get into it. Here we go. It does talk about it. Jesus turned the water into wine. It's funny how in Pentecostal churches, you mention that, everybody gets like, but it's right there in the Scripture. What did I do? Oh, thank you, baby. I was about to turn the water into something. Follow me in this. What kind of pot are you? You ready? Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. Remember that in the back of your mind and your heart today. He's not finished with you. He's still working on you. He's still developing you, creating, shaping, working. Amen. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, rise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my word. Sometimes we've got to take a step of faith to begin to see the process. Watch this. Arise and go down. Arise and go down. Notice that act of obedience. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, I love how this means so much to me, because many times God shows me something visually, and then I begin to, by the work of the Holy Spirit, to understand what he's wanting me to see in this. So looking at something that was, notice this, a natural action, a normal thing of the day. God used a normal action, a normal circumstance, a normal moment of life to reveal something to his servant. There's been times I've been riding down the road and looked up at a billboard and read something, or times I picked up a book or watching even a commercial on television. It didn't really matter. It's just in that moment, like I told you the story about the roundabout and how God told me that day, so too many of my servants are stuck like on a roundabout. They're just going around, being there going round and round and round and never knowing how to get off to finish up the destination. Well, here, the servant of God saw the potter working, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So I ask you a question this morning. Have you allowed your clay, your life, to be put in the hand of the potter? If I was a potter this morning, in fact, it's intriguing to me. I, I started looking up potter's wheels. I've done this probably 3 or 4 times while I've been in ministry. Wanted to look it up, was interested, even found one guy on YouTube that made one for $50. Took a motor out of a ceiling fan and a 5-gallon bucket, made his own potter's wheel out of it. But I began to look up potter's wheels and how expensive they are, and I always thought, David, that I would enjoy that I'd like to make something with my hands, you know? I'd probably come out with a wop-sided teacup before it was over with, but there's a process to it, and sometimes you watch these masters do it and how they shape it and how they make it. And sometimes you read about potters and some of them with their own clay and how they have decomposing grass and all these different materials that they store to make their own clay that they feel is better than what you could buy. That's another sermon about something has to die first in order for it to be turned into something beautiful. Amen. Some of us need to die today, and I don't mean natural, physically. We need to die off to some things of this world to become what God's called us to be. What kind of clay are you? What kind of clay you present determines what type of pot gets made. Well, that's preaching good right now. You know, if you don't want to give him the clay, if you don't want to surrender the clay, can you imagine if the clay could slap the potter? I mean, let's just be real about it. It's got to be, we'll talk about that part in a moment. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. I don't want to give you the whole message at once. Acts chapter 9, verse 3 through 9. I spent too many hours writing it to give you in 5 minutes. Amen. Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 9. Let's look at somebody that was some clay here. As he journeyed, we're going to jump to verse 15 as well. I can't tell you the whole story today, but for the sake of this message, I want to give you the nucleus, the meat of it. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Saul, who became Paul. And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you were persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Doesn't say they understood the voice, it said they heard it. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now, God's raised up Ananias here in another situation, on down a few verses in verse 15, or in the same situation, same story. But the Lord said to him, see, Ananias was fearful. Saul had legal right to murder and imprison a Christian. If you study the life about Saul, you'll find out that he was well educated. Though Jewish, he was Roman by citizenship. He believed that he was doing the right thing. He believed that he was fighting for, he was very knowledgeable of the word. He believed that he was pursuing those who were a hindrance and were evil. He did. And in this moment, the power of the Spirit, the presence of God, knocks him down and blinds him. And all of a sudden, God sends word to Ananias in a vision that says, there's a guy named Saul. He's over here. Go to him. And like most of us, you just said, Lord, to who? In fact, when you go read it, you'll find out that he said, Lord, do you know what this guy does to people like me? Do you know what he's done to people like me? That's common English, but that's what he was saying. Come on, somebody say amen. I know the Spirit of the Lord's moved, but we need the word today. But the Lord said, Go, for he is a chosen. Everybody say chosen. Slap your neighbor and tell him, you're chosen. He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. God longs for each of us to be that chosen vessel. I'm going to ask you again, what kind of pot are you? The quality of pot or vessel is not only determined by the potter, but by the clay. So I ask you this morning, what are you giving to the Lord? What are you offering to Him? Pastor, this is tough right now. What are you doing right now? I'm trying to get us to a point where we can look at our life through the work of the Holy Spirit and say, have I withdrew myself from the hand of the potter? Or have I presented myself in such a way that He can make me whatever He wants me to be? Can I tell you something? This life is short. This life is a breath, guys. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. Mountain Gap's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Come on now. In the blink of an eye, this life as we know it ends. But how we've surrendered ourselves to Him and allowed Him to shape us and direct us and create us into what He wants us to be so that lives can be changed, so that we can be useful and beneficial in the kingdom of God. I just want to be a tool in His hand. I prayed this last week one morning. I found myself, I said, Lord, I just want to be a tool. God, I think it was Thursday morning when I got up and took Kylie to school and I was on my way back and I cut across and headed back out toward the church and I'm like, God, today's one of those unusual days. You know, most of the time I already know my agenda. I know my plans. I know what I've got to do. I know what appointments I have, but I had no set appointment. I had no set schedule. I had nothing I absolutely had to do, but things I would like to do. And so when it's things I would like to do, then I ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? Because God, I want to know that today's not wasted. I want to know this 24-hour period. It's not just thrown at me and I throw it back. But I want to do something with it, God. And so I prayed that morning. I said, God, just lead me today. Let my eyes see what You want me to see. My ears hear what You want me to hear. Let me call who You won't call. Let me visit who You won't visit. Let me go where You... Just lead my feet today, God. Oh, I've got pastor friends that can lay... Lord, have mercy. I said this in church. They lay around the house and they lay in the bed and they don't do nothing till Sunday morning. I know them. I have a problem with that. It's not so much about the church, and don't take me wrong. It's about God. I believe that if we are followers of Christ that lay it around, this isn't in my notes, but good preaching. If we just lay around the house all day and do nothing with our lives, I'm not talking about when we're unable, but those that are capable. See, there's a problem with that. I said, there's a problem with that. Some of you need to be out visiting. That's good preaching. I've been to funeral homes and some of you showed up. I've been to hospitals, some of you showed up. Pastor, you're being tough. I'm asking you what kind of clay you are. I'm asking you what kind of pot are you. If you're going to become the pot God wants you to become, you got to give Him some clay to work with. I believe that with all my heart. You should get up every day saying, Lord, what do You want to do through me today? How do You want to use me today? I looked up Beattyville today, early this morning. Beattyville, Kentucky. Last population, last census, if I'm not mistaken, they estimated that the population has now dwindled to between 12 and 1700. Reported as, and this is no criticism, they know this, we've discussed this together, I'm saying this to bring you to a point of reality and something we're going to talk about at the end of service. But looking at Beattyville, because many times we look outside the country and we don't always look, and I'm not one of those that criticizes outside, because I have a deep passion. I've made, I guess, 14 trips out of the country into various parts of the world, 11 different countries, ministering and building churches, and I have a passion for that as well. But many times we get stuck and we see God through one little filter, and we don't see how big God is, and right out, technically out our back door in the United States, it's considered to be one of the top four poorest cities in the world. The opioid epidemic is beyond anything we've ever seen. The suicide rate is through the roof. Children and families starving, waiting for makeshift houses and burnt out places to try to be restored through grants just to find somewhere to live. And many people choosing not to even have electricity just so they can have a roof over their head. Right outside our back door. Then there's people like these that are ministering and loving and living. You know, most folks will say, I don't want to live here. Come on now. I picked up Kylie the other afternoon from school, from cheer practice, and one of her little friends got in, and she was going on with Kylie about how small Thomaston was. Kylie said, girl, Where mama and us moved from, where daddy and I moved from, we had one red light. We just got a McDonald's, she said. And her friend looked at her and said something along, kind of along this line, I guess you got a point. Man, we were happy to see, you know, KFC and Zaxby's and, man, they got like 4 or 5 pizza joints in town. Come on now. And they got 2 Mexican, yeah, that's right, I can get my jalapenos at 2 places. What kind of clay are we? What kind of pot are we becoming? The quality of the pot is determined by the potter, but also by the clay. If the clay is impure or marred or messed up, if it's got bubbles in it, if it's got impurities in it somehow, then it's not going to be smooth. It's not going to be shaped properly. Here's what I believe this morning. I believe God is calling us, number one, to be available. Now, I know clay really has no choice over this, but in our life, we do. As the Word compares us to clay, we got a choice. We can either obey God or disobey. We can either be available to Him or not. We get to choose if we want to be on that potter's wheel. We can get off of it if we want to. We can say, God, don't be shaping my life anymore. Don't mess with me anymore. God, I'm not up to this anymore. God, I've got my own agenda, my own plan, my own ideas, God. Be available. Number two, you got to be surrendered. And there was a day and time like this morning, a service like that. Man, what an anointing that was in here. What an anointing. I believe it's still here. People are willing to surrender. They're willing to be broken. They're willing to fall before the Lord and say, whatever you want to do in my life, you just do it, God. When I look around at these children, I listened yesterday as Ben shared a testimony with us concerning his own children and their trip to Beattyville and working and helping to build the gentleman's home there and all of those things that they were a part of with this precious family. And he talked about his kids and the benefit and how it inspired and touched. And I see these kids, his kids, your kids, my kids, the loving nature that exists in so many of them. I think about the future. What are you saying? Because I believe the vessel God is shaping me into directly affects their life. Well, come on, somebody. Amen. Available, surrendered. Number three, you got to be pliable. You got to be pliable. Some of us kind of get on the potter's wheel, but we don't want to be pliable. I'll tell you a story about a lady I baptized one time. A couple years back, and in fact, it's still, I think, on my Facebook page if you go back and look through it. We were baptizing, I think, like 30, 35 people. We were down at a creek, and man, it was a wonderful experience, one of many where we had baptized over the years. And we were there, and there was this lady who honestly had some mental problems. And we tried to love her and work with her on many occasions. It was not easy. I'm just being honest. She would yell out things in the middle of service. And one day I was preaching, she just hollered out, John Wayne. Right in the middle of the sermon, she said, John Wayne! And it wasn't an illness like you would think that would cause her to blurt out, because sometimes she did, sometimes she didn't, and we knew what it was, and that's another story, but she would holler out, John Wayne, Donald Trump, and it would change. You just didn't know what she was going to say. One day I was preaching, she said, coat of many colors! You know, and I had to kind of deal with her a little bit. It took some time and work, and anyway, we're down there baptizing that day, and she had told me she wanted to be baptized, so we were very careful to talk to her about dressing appropriately, because we wanted to make sure that, you know, knowing some of the circumstances, she went inappropriately dressed to go into the water and those types of things. Are y'all following me? Well, let me tell you something. She showed up and she looked like Laura Ingalls. I kid you not. She had on a dress that looked like it came straight off Little House on the Prairie. She meant she was going to follow that, but that wasn't the problem. We got down in the water, and usually I always have an assistant to help me in baptizing just because of my height and size, and I think it's smart to do that. Amen. I've had some really tall folks get on their knees and just let me, you know, do it like that. Doesn't really matter. It's the heart that counts. Amen. But I'm standing there getting ready to baptize her, and another lady, our youth pastor, is helping. And I said, Lord, today, based on Miss So-and-so's confession of faith in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, we baptize her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when I went to go back, she went. I thought, well, what in the world? I mean, she just stiffened like that. She refused. And I leaned over and I whispered in her ear. We'll call her Susie for sake of privacy. I said, Susie, are you okay? I said, now, Susie, I said, listen to me. I said, God knows your heart, sis. And if you're afraid to go under this water, I want you to understand, if you just want to kneel down, I'll scoop up some water and just run it over your head. Amen. I know some soldiers that were getting ready back way back Desert Storm. They were using 55-gallon drums and taking 5-gallon buckets and submerging them down in the 55-gallon drum and pouring it over top of their head. It's the condition of the heart. And so I talked to her and I said, listen, we can work through this. It's okay. No, I want to go under. I want to go under. But she was very serious. And I said, are you sure? Yes. I said, I'm going to try it again. I go through the speech again. Based on her confession of faith, Susie's, you know, the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I go to pay her down. She's like, I look back at the lady helping me. And I said, I don't know what to do. People are all up on the hill. Everybody's watching, you know. I mean, there's like 150, 160 people there. People everywhere. You know, maybe 200. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what do I do here? Do I just shove her under? The water's kind of swift and it's beautiful and it's clear. And what do I do? And she's crying. And I said, sis, this is okay. God knows your heart. No, I want to go under. And I said, okay. And I leaned back and looked at my youth pastor and I said, next time, don't stop. I mean, she's told me 3 times she wants to go under. I planted my feet and on the 3rd swing, when she bowed, we shoved her just as hard as we could under that water. Now you say, why do you tell me that? She wasn't pliable. You're going to remember this point in the sermon. And sometimes as much as we, that's funny, the truth is we treat God that way. God is trying to shape us and we're like, I see some of you come in church and right in the middle of the sermon sometimes, you're like, being where you at, I just gave you some material, buddy. You may not physically do it, but I can see it all over your face sometimes. I can feel it in your spirit when God's dealing with you or ministering to you. And you're like, and God just wants you to say, shape me. Do whatever you got to do, God. I'm marred. Crush it back down. Start over. Create me into what you call me to be. Make me into who you want me to be. Amen. Just work with me, God, because I'm here today and I'm gone tomorrow. And in my life here, I want to be the best pot I can. I want you to shape me into whatever you call me to be. Put me up on the shelf, sell me, use me, pour me out, fill me up, whatever it is, God. One man said, am I going to be a piece of fine china or just a finger bowl? It's not really so much important whether you consider yourself the fine china or the finger bowl. What's important is that you know that you have allowed him to make you into whatever he wants you to be. Here's some things I want you to consider before we close this morning. God wants us to live to our fullest potential. How many people today bound by substance and addictions and things of that nature that rob them from the fullest potential God wants them to have? Number 2, potential alone is not enough. I learned this a long time ago. I see people all the time that are in church, Randall, and they're full of potential. But they're not pliable. They're unsurrendered. Amen. Somebody went. Amen. Not pliable. Unsurrendered. Can I tell you something until we get to that point that we're pliable? You ever had that conversation with your children where you tell them something and they come back with something different? And you're like, that's not the response I was looking for. Just a simple yes, sir, would have been fine. Come on, let every parent say amen. Amen. I told Susie something like that the other day. Did y'all see her post on Facebook? She wrote, let it be known or whatever. I'm officially changing my name to Susie. Bank is on the way or something along that line. That ain't quite right, but you know what she said. She's going to make bank off my name assigned to her. Money. But I've seen people full of potential but won't surrender. And you know what? They die with all the potential. Potential alone won't get you there. It's commitment, faithfulness, obedience, surrender to the will of God. Availability. If you could cook the best food in the house and someone was hungry, you're full of potential. But you're unwilling to do it. What good is all that potential? Come on now. Number 3, surrender to the process produces a quality vessel. Surrender to the process. It's not easy. I remember the first time I ever went to CrossFit. I'd lost a bunch of weight, and I went that morning, early about 5 o'clock, and I was used to drinking a pre-workout mix when I was lifting weights all the time. And that pre-workout mix would help me bust through and lift more. And I dropped down like 80 pounds. And I was lifting more than I'd ever lifted, and I converted from heavy lifting to CrossFit. And that's two different dynamics. And so I go into CrossFit, and I drink my pre-workout. Well, let me tell you something. That was not good for me because I got a terrible gag reflex. And in CrossFit, your heart rate stays up versus heavy lifting, it doesn't. And so I go into CrossFit that morning, and they're doing over-unders and all this other stuff, and it's just crazy, you know, sit-ups on tires and flipping tires and throwing heavy balls, and I mean, you name it, and we're running and coming back and doing power cleans and running some more and coming back and doing all this. It was just over and over for like 30 minutes. Next thing I know, I ran out the front door and barfed all in the flower pot because my heart rate went through the roof. I couldn't take the pre-workout mix, and so I was mad, and I was upset. I was embarrassed. And then all of a sudden, I realized that if I didn't surrender to the process, I never get the results. I remember the first day I ever ran a 5K after that. That embarrassing morning was worth something in the long run. Well, amen. I want to read his story, and we're going to close today. There was a young man once who helped with youth in his church, taught when the pastor called on him, vacuumed on early Sunday mornings before service, even visited and prayed alongside of his pastor with the sick. One day he reached a point of great frustration concerning the advancement of his ministry. At this point of discouragement, he decided to just maintain and settle for the current level of surrender until his life was radically changed by the loss of his child. He told the Lord, "I will do whatever you want for as long as you want, as long as I can serve you." Little did he know that the crushing of his clay would open the doors of ministry which he had longed to serve in. Let the potter be the potter. You be the clay, available, pliable, and surrendered to his will. I want to be what God wants me to be, and I never want to be less than he has called me to be. It's not just wanting to be what he wants me to be, though that'd be very important. I also don't want to be less than he's called me to be. I think sometimes we go through seasons of pliableness, if that's the word, being shaped. And then we pull back and say, "God, I think sometimes we get happy with how we look right now. And contentment sets in, and we stop allowing him to shape us." I said to the Lord one day, out of deep frustration, "God, how will I ever pastor? I'm 17 years old, I'm married, I have a severely handicapped child. How will I ever pastor?" I might have turned 18 by this point. "God, I'm in this little country church of 150 people, and yes, my pastor lets me preach, and yes, he lets me serve, and he loves me, but God, there's got to be more, and I know there's more, and I want more, and my ambition was at a high level, man. One day I decided to go visit other churches, thought maybe other churches were the answer. And I tried other churches and I didn't feel at home nor happy because I wasn't where God wanted me to be. I finally came back and I said, "Lord, I'm just sick of all this. I'm tired of it." I said, "God, I'm evangelizing. Every time I turn around, somebody wants me to come preach for them. And somebody wants me to get their license and their denomination. And all that's great, God. but I know you've called me to pastor. See, sometimes we get so far ahead. Please hear me right now. See, what I didn't realize at that moment in my life was God had me on the wheel and He was shaping me. He was making me what He wanted me to be. So I decided I was going to go back to college and I was going to get a degree in criminal justice. I wanted to be a detective. That's what I thought. I enrolled in Darton College and I started the criminal justice program. And one day a lady walked up to me and she said, "You know, Brother John, you're never going to be happy doing anything except what God's called you to do." I got very frustrated. My daughter passes. I prayed and prayed and prayed for God to heal her. Selena and I are driving up I-75, just passing Cordell, and we joined hands. And I looked at her and I said, "Let's move. Let's move." I'm still searching for answers. We prayed that day, and long story short, we ended up moving to Griffin, Georgia, 23, 4 years ago. How old are the girls? So 26. Yeah, they were little. Maybe they were they even a year old? Four? They were four. So 20 some odd years ago. What I didn't know, now hear me out. What I didn't know was that was when God would open the door for our ministry to really begin. My daughter's died. I've been turned down the best job that I ever thought I would get when I wasn't supposed to have been turned down for it. My whole world is upside down and I'm struggling. I said this to someone the other day. When God makes a pot, He might crush it down and start again and crush it down and start again. And He'll see something else that needs to go and He'll crush it down and start again. And I said, sometimes I look back over my life and when it really became reality, I was pastoring my first church, sitting behind my desk praying one day and the Spirit of the Lord showed me a chessboard and He showed me all these pieces and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "John, when you thought everything was out of control, I was just moving all the pieces around." There were so many things that, Leslie, could have happened in my life that would not have led me to the door, even to the point where I stand right now, getting to do what I'm doing today and serving God the way that I get to serve God. I just want to be the pot He wants me to be. Are you ready? All right, let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm trying to follow the Lord in this, so y'all bear with me. Going to ask those that have played if some of them will come back and play softly this morning. We're going to do several things in this altar service today. Bart, would you and Deborah come on up here? Bring those, you and Pete and everybody, Brenda, thank you. Deb, Brenda, all of you guys, just come stand over here for me, or right here is fine. I'm going to do two things at one time. Trying to follow the Lord here and be obedient. I want them to share something in a moment with you, but I want to ask something of you before we do this. If you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I feel like I've kind of got off the potter's wheel." Maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I feel like I haven't been very pliable. But I'm really ready for God to start shaping again." See, some of you came in this morning, I knew it. You were so concerned about agendas and schedules and plans and so many different things. And all God wanted to do was just put His hands on your clay and do some shaping. Listen to me. I heard it all over the building this morning. Everywhere I went, I ran into it. Don't live your life without being the clay. It can all change tomorrow. Be the clay. Let Him shape you and make you into who He wants you to be.
when I see this couple here today, they lead in the ministry there, and I know, again, Bart and Deb and Ben and Sarah and their families went up and spent time with them. Many of you helped contribute to some of the things that they were doing there. They lead in the ministry. I haven't forgotten my call. Just bear with me. Turn around for me. Would you just face them? Would you do that? Where's your hubby? Where'd he go? There he comes. I didn't realize he wasn't in here. I'm sorry. Pete, we're calling on you, brother. Come on down. I love this guy. How many years y'all been married? 21 years. That's right. We sung happy anniversary last night. They feed children. They feed families. I want you to listen to me a minute. And I say this in love. They do ministry that honestly, probably many of us in this room would not be willing to do. It's hard. It's not easy. They have surrendered themselves to a life that in all natural ways at times they could say, God, I just don't want to be here no more. That we're going somewhere else to live. We're going to do something different. We're going to take a different job. Serving in one of the top poorest communities in the United States. And they minister and love and nurture care for the addicts and the homeless and the hurting. Real biblical ministry. When I look at them, I see clay that's pliable. I see clay that's surrendered. And I see a vessel being made that God's proud of. I'm asking you, just like I've said about them, are you willing to be that vessel God's called you to be? If you are, Brenda, will y'all push those over and just kind of step back a little for me so we make some room, a little more room. If you're that person today and you're ready, would you get out of your seat? And I want you just to come stand in front of these right here. Would you do that? I know you're here. Lord didn't give me this message in vain. You're ready today. Get out of that seat. Pastor, I'm ready for God to shape me. Pastor, I want to be pliable. Pastor, I'm willing to become what He wants me to be. Who else? Take some courage this morning. Who else? Who else? Who else?
Joining us today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.